Amen.
What a blessing, amen. Thank God for the word of God, amen. It's a powerful power of God unto salvation. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8 tonight. Acts chapter number 8. And I want you to see a revival in Samaria tonight. A revival in Samaria. Now, many of you are familiar with the book of Acts, and I've taught it many times, but I want you to see here in the book of Acts just some things that I think we could see, and we could even take some of it as marks of revival. If we're not careful, he said that this book will comfort, amen, us, and it will, but it'll also discomfort the comfortable. Amen. And so sometimes we need both. Sometimes we need comfort. But we see here in the chapter 8, where we're going to begin tonight, that the church, even in the early stages and seeing tremendous growth, has gotten to a place where even though they're still doing part of what God has asked them to do, he's taught them and told them to overspread the earth. He wants them to take the gospel and be a witness everywhere, and they're kind of hanging on to it in one place. And so persecution falls on the church in this place, and the Bible or the Word of God is spread as people are scattered about. They continued to witness, and this is something God had already commanded them to do. Sometimes for us, we don't like to think about that. Sometimes we can be a witness right where God wants us, and we don't think God needs to move us out of our comfort zone. But God desperately, yes, you can do the work of God and do the will of God right where you are, but that doesn't mean that you're smack dab in the middle of God's will where he wants you. Now, please, don't everybody move their membership next week. That's not what I'm preaching, all right? And that's not what I want, but I do know that every time God speaks to you, he's not always talking to you about salvation, but if you've never been saved, he's speaking to you. And if he's speaking to you and you've never been saved, you need to get saved. But if you surrendered to God, you've never surrendered and you've been saved and God's speaking to you, he doesn't always talk to you about salvation. Sometimes he's wanting you to surrender to his will. And then after you surrender, he'll direct you in his will to right where he wants you, to do the things that God wants you to do. A lot of times what has to happen in between one of them steps, while when the fire got cold or in the midst of the work we got hurt or somewhere along the way, a lot of times what needs to happen is revival. Now, what we're going to say here is that revival is people getting saved. For us, and as saved people, we need to realize that when we see God working and moving, and that ought to excite us, it ought to revive us. When people are getting saved and God is doing a work in other people's lives, we should see that and go, am I cold? If God's working in everybody else around me, then why is he not working in me? And then if you, again, you say, well, I'm listening for his voice. God moves and directs us every day. And by the way, it doesn't just have to be in a church service. God will move and direct in your life on a daily basis in your personal time with him. If you decide to talk to God and say, God, I want you to speak to me, you know what God really wants to do? He wants to speak to you. We just got to tune in. It's like everybody trying to get 90.3 on 90.5. That's not the channel we're on. A lot of times we try to listen to God in the wrong places. We try to tune in his channel to a channel that feels more for us because we think it's safe, and he's not going to direct us where we don't want to go. We need to tune into his book and trust him and give him the benefit of the doubt that he can be trusted with our lives. The beginning of revival is really here. We see persecution. And listen, sometimes we think that's not always the beginning of revival, but when any time we've seen a spiritual revival of people in any place, people somewhere got discomforted and began to beg God to work in their church, in their lives, in their home, and they had revival. Now, it can be personal revival. It can be other people getting saved because you got revived and they see what God can do in you. And sometimes it can be a revival of what God is using you to do. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, revival, you don't put God in a box and say, this is the only way God can have revival. God can have revival in your life, in His church, in just your devotions. There is some area of your life, if you were honest tonight, maybe it needs to be in your marriage. Maybe God needs to revive some things in your life. If you're not honest with yourself and you're sitting here tonight saying, I don't need revival, then you're the one I'm preaching at tonight. Because you need revival. If you are at a place, all right, listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're at a place where you're comfortable, then God ought to discomfort you tonight. Because you need revival, you just don't know it yet. We come to this place where we sometimes think we've checked all the boxes and we know all there is to know. And usually, folks, there's a whole lot more we need to know. There's a whole lot more God wants to do in us. There's a whole lot more that He wants to grow us and show us and use us for. But are we willing to be revived to do it? See, revival is something that has died in us. Has to be made alive again. Sometimes that's desire. Sometimes that's things that we have told ourselves that we don't need. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot, and listen, I know that as Americans, you ought to understand this. If every year one of the greatest industries in our nation is diet and diet pills, and every year we lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that we're going to lose weight, and we find some way to do it, and then what do we do later on? Now, we intended it. We had a good intention, did we not, right, to begin all those things. But then somewhere along the way, we don't think it's important anymore. Sometime along the way, we decide it doesn't really matter. Now listen, don't get mad with me. All right? I'm just telling you, God speaks to us just the way that you and I can look in the mirror. This is the mirror of His Word. And it ain't like a scale that weighs us out and tells us that according to the world we need this or that or to weigh this or that. This book lines us up and says according to the scale, being right with a holy God, you're found wanting. You're found wanting in this area and in this area. Now, you say, preacher, I'm never going to meet that standard. Not until Jesus comes and changes you. But it doesn't mean that you ought not have a pursuit. A lot of times when we desperately need revival is when we've decided that we're okay and we're staying put right here. I'm not moving one more inch towards God. I'll be all right finishing my race just the way I am. That's comfortable. I'd go a step further. That's complacent. And tonight we ought to allow God and say, God, I need revival. Will you do this with me tonight as we read the scripture and we give some evident things that we need or marks of revival tonight? As I pray tonight, would you talk to God? And if God revealed something just in the introduction tonight and you realize you need revival, will you ask Him to help you have it? Will you ask Him and pray to God and say, God, if I need revival, will you show me tonight? Because I desperately want to preach a message to people that want to hear it. I want to deliver what God told me to give to my people, but I wanted to try to prep your heart for it tonight, because you can preach and preach and preach, and if it falls on deaf ears, on people that don't want to, listen, you know, if we could get our want to fixed, God could fix a lot of things in us if we wanted to tonight. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I beg you tonight to use me, Lord. I know that you asked me to preach this message, and Lord, I thank you for all the things that we already have seen done today, Lord. Our heart is broken. One of our brothers went home to be with you, but Lord, we're the ones that sorrow, but we don't sorrow as others that have no hope. We realize that that brother heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he accepted your sweet payment for his sins, and that, Lord, tonight, that he is in a better place than we are. He is seated with you in heaven, and God, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we focus on revival, Lord, that we would not be complacent, that you, Holy Spirit of God, would go into the hearts of the hearers and that you would draw men to hear from your word, to hear from heaven, and to act in the things in their lives that they might grow closer to you and we might have a closer walk with thee. We ask it in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen. Acts chapter 8, if you would, and I want you to look at it with me and start in verse number 4. And we just told you that Saul is making havoc of the church. And in verse 4, it says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, look, he said, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many, look at this, taken with the palsy, and they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Folks, just a few verses here in the marks of revival, people heard preaching. Anytime revival is going to happen in your life, preaching is going to be coupled to it. I don't preach that because I'm a preacher. You have to realize that when things happen and you're discomforted, preaching is something that it's again, for most of the world, they check the box that preaching is foolishness. But it is the thing that God has chosen to work in our lives to lead men not only to Christ, but to continue to guide us in His work and in His will. It's sometimes things that discomfort us. Sometimes it's preached and it comforts our heart and stirs us to do the things that we've known all along that we should be doing, but we've let them go and we've cast it aside and we thought we would be all right without those things. But it's preaching that reminds us of that. Philip goes down and he preaches the word of God. He preaches Christ. Every form of preaching is always going to include the Lord Jesus Christ. You boys that have come here for the college, if you leave this place and you start, you know, speaking, that's not what we teach people to do here. We teach you to preach and to preach Christ. When you form a sermon that you think is a good one and there's no Jesus and the gospel in it, it's not preaching. It's just loud talking. We ought to preach Jesus. Listen, folks, we're going to come out and some of you are saying, what are they going to preach to us all week? We're saved. Good. That means you're ready for preaching. That means you got past the starting blocks, and what you desperately need a week of is preaching. Amen. How are we ever going to have revival in our lives if we think that one good dose of preaching a week is all we need? Do you know what preachers need and what I listen to during the week? Preaching. Do you know what you need through the week? Preaching. It reminds us that God, it's not just something that is okay if we do or we don't. It comes to a place where it's preached, we're taught, and we're brought to a place of decision that we will or we won't. I've had enough. Listen, it's good to have devotional time. You know what devoted means? That means you've already made a decision to devote time to be in the Bible. Why don't people devote themselves? Why don't you take the same attitude when we walk in here and sit down in the pew that whatever comes out of that Bible and God tells me to do from His Word, there will not be any question. I'm devoted enough to step out by faith and do what God tells me to do. How come we got to think about it? How come we got to come around to where we decide? Listen, we don't need to decide anything. God's already made the decision. All we need to do is hear the commandment of heaven and then put it to act in our lives. Revival happens when you decide that God is right every time and that you will side with God against everything else and you'll do His work and His will. You say, what if it's hard? What if it's hard? Most of you that sit in here, if it was hard at your job, you'd be interested in it. You'd be excited about it. If it was a brand new challenge, you'd be excited to conquer it. But how is it that when we come to spiritual things, it's hard? I don't have time for it. I'm going to have to put time in to learn how to do that. Okay? Why don't we put time in to learn how God wants us to do it? Why is it that we come to a place, if it's spiritual, I'm not sure I got time for it? Preaching leads us to a place where we should make a decision. And then instead of being just hearers of the word, we become doers of the word and we put it into action in our lives. I'm not saying that every time you hear the gospel that you ought to get saved. I believe you ought to get saved, and that is all. You only got to do that once. When you get saved, God saves you, and then he keeps you, and you don't got nothing else to do with it other than accept it. He does all the saving. He did all the planning. He did all the action, and then he does all the keeping. What we do is just accept. So think about this. If I'm his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, why is it that we think it's hard for God to build us up in him? Because everything we're going to do in the life is just simply yielding and just walking out on the limb for God. Because with physical eyes, we can't see how God can do that. But if we trusted God spiritually, we'd walk out a limb for him, trusting him, realizing that he has the power to do anything that he's asked me to do. He has the power to do in me anything that he's commanded me to do. And that if I just trust him, he can use me and guide me and work in me. Sometimes I think, folks, even in the area of witnessing, we think we can't. God would never have asked his people, and I'll just say this, he would never have commanded us to be witnesses of him if we couldn't do it. Now, I'll be honest with you. You may not believe it because I get up here and preach all the time. I ain't somebody that likes to talk to a lot of people. I had to learn how to do this. I had to trust God with being somebody that would get up and speak up to people. Folks, you know what I like to do at the end of a hard day? I like to go into a room with nobody in it and turn the light off and sit in there by myself. I am in my happy place. But folks, you know what? I already been saved. There ain't nobody witness to in a dark room by myself. I'm not going to change anybody's eternal destiny in a room by myself. You know what I had to learn to do? I had to learn that Jesus died for his church, not just for me. And so, you know what I found became my happy place? When I get to come in this group, in this body of believers, that's my church. Not because I'm the pastor, but because I belong to it as a member. That I get to walk in here and I get to get fellowship with the brethren. And I get to come into this place, and this is where I feel at home. This is what I feel is my comfort zone. Preaching doesn't scare me off now. I feel at home when I hear the preaching of God's word. Even when it discomforts me, I realize God is speaking to me and his church. Preaching is a mark of revival. And you say, preacher, why do I need it? Because preaching should always, listen, it's always going to be preemptive before revival. If we're going to have, why did we schedule somebody to preach all week to us? Because we need it. Because we desire a revival. And if we don't think that we need that, guess what we need? Revival. It's a mark of it. Now, you may say, I already got my daily dose. I got my weekly dose. I don't need to come back every night. Listen, I'm telling you, don't miss it. Let me just tell you this. The power of God don't always penetrate the television screen. And even though if you have to and you can't make it for, I mean, absolutely, you can't be on the premises, it's better than not hearing it. But it ain't nothing like being in the midst of it. I've been in one powerful revival in my life. Where God moved, and I just want to say this. I'm so glad that I showed up, that I didn't watch it from television, because it wouldn't have been the same. When God moved in our midst, he didn't move in the midst of YouTube and on everybody that was on the television screen. God can still use His Word, and it has power. People can watch somebody that preached a message 300 years ago and get saved. Amen. Because God's Word has power. But when God is in His Word, and His Word is preached, and we're in the midst of it, revival can happen. It can happen in me. It can happen in the midst of the church. It can happen. I want you to see, I need to move on. I want you to look at it with me. He says, in preaching, he says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Look at verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things. Look at that. Which Philip spake. I want you to just say how preaching is received matters. I believe that you can have personal revival, but what all of us are defining as revival tonight happens when a people, as a collective, with one accord, desire God's will and God's working in their lives. They expect that to show up through preaching. You say, well, preacher, I got this and that. Yeah, I understand. I just want to remind you again that with one accord, the church has prayed up to this point. With one accord up to this point, the church now is preaching and witnessing. And this ain't even a church. The people in Samaria, when a scattered, not even evangelist yet, but deacon of the local church in Jerusalem is run off from his place, and he decides to put his soapbox up in the street and preach Jesus Christ, the people of Samaria that aren't all of the same nationality, they're not all from the same people group, but as one whole heard the preaching of God and decided to obey it. When any group of people hear the preaching of Jesus Christ and decide, listen, I'm just going to say, to call out upon His name. Jesus says, where one or two are gathered together in My name, I'll be in the midst. You know what revival is? It's not just preaching, but it is the presence of God showing up in the midst of His people because they are in one accord desiring Him to be there. Now, I'm just going to be honest. We ought to bring Him with us. We ought to show up, filled up, looking to run it over on anybody that was sitting next to us. But that ain't how we always show up, is it? Sometimes we had a bad day. Sometimes our kids shut our fingers in the door of the car. All right? And it's hard to be spiritual when three fingers are broken. Amen. It's hard to walk into church and think spiritual thoughts after somebody just shut your car. And now we got all them power doors, you know, and then it don't know what you're doing. You're opening and closing it, and it just kind of crushing your fingers like that. I'm telling you, that'll get you in tune for church service. You say, preacher, has that ever happened to you? That's none of your business. Listen, but I'm just telling you, for all of us, we've got to come to the place in our life where circumstances and things that knock us down, we ought to come to church and realize, God, I need You to help me. I want to hear from heaven. We ought to never come to a service, but especially to a revival, not desiring the Word of God to penetrate and work on our heart, to leave differently than we came. Sometimes I think we come and we just check the box at making attendance. And church and revival is so much more than just being in our place. It changes everything when we show up for God. Not for everybody else that's in the building. Not just to get checked off in attendance, but I show up for God to speak to me. And I'm just going to tell you, if you've been coming to church any amount of time, it's really easy to fall into a place where we're really not anticipating the Word of God to work in us. We just think it's going to be another service and another time we're together. And what we desperately need when that's going on is to get in one accord and to beg God for revival. Revival in our lives, right where we are, in our families. I don't know about you, but more than anything, I want my children to experience revival. I don't want them to live a Christian life that's nominal, that doesn't matter, that's just something that we do. I want them to realize that this is powerful and real, and that when we show up at any given time, heaven can hammer us, or it can love us. It can revive us. Whatever our need is at the moment, as long as we show up in one accord as a group and body believers, God can do the work that desperately needs to be done. And more than anything, I want our church. Folks, I don't want to just have, you know what, more than anything, I want people to walk in the back door and to say, after our revival, there's a spirit of revival in this place. That people come in and the Holy Spirit has free course and they feel like there's something different about this place because there's revival. One accord, that's how it happens. He says here that they heard, look at this, it says they gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles, which he did. Then he says, for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy. Look at this, lame, that were lame and they were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now, many of you understand, and I know that this is true, but listen, you know, in Bible times, there was a great amount of demonic possession. And there's so much more than we probably see on a daily basis. We just, folks, I just want you to realize the devil and the demons are still alive and well. They still work. They still aim at us. They still have fiery darts, and they still are trying to penetrate your home. They just have different ways of doing it. Okay? And if you don't think that they can't connect with your children and your home digitally, you got another thing coming. And even though your family and you may be saved today, that means you cannot be possessed by an evil spirit, because an evil spirit cannot possess the same person that the Holy Spirit does. And the power that is in within us is greater than the power that is without. And so we've got to realize that God has power and He's holding these things off. But if we as God's people aren't careful, we think a separated life is better than the next guy, or dressing on the outside. And some of those things are true, but really separated, sanctified living is keeping ourselves clean when nobody else is around. Because what happens is, in our day and age, the reason we can't have revival is because we've invoked things not to possess us, but to oppress us in the Christian life. And instead of walking free and living for God, we are shackled to things that own us. And we can't be at revival because I've got to be at this thing because it owns me. I can't be at revival, or even if I am, I'm not thinking about revival. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do after revival's over because that owns me. We have preached much over the years against the television. But preacher, it seems like such a small thing compared to the thing that people carry around in their hand all the time now. People had to go and they could go home and then turn it on, and it only got so many hours of the day. But the devil found a way to shrink it down and put it in your hand. And if you're not careful, you'll let Elon Musk and all the things that are coming down the road, they'll put it in your head. They'll put it in your hand. They'll put it in. Listen, they are looking to, so you can't get away from it. Listen, it's something that you choose every day to pick it up and go. And it can be used powerfully for good. But for many of us that are in this room, it owns you. See how many minutes that we could put it down. Even being at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, most people can't make it through a service without looking at it. Most people can't walk in the door without checking it. And if they come to church, they don't feel like they need to bring their Bible because it's got their Bible too. Amen. I'm just telling you. Listen, I'm not against you looking at your Bible on it. I got a Bible app on mine. But I didn't bring it to the pulpit tonight. because I'm not bringing the unholy thing up here. Because it just don't contain that. And listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. That thing may do something I don't want it to do. I've learned along the way, it's listening to me. And it don't always want me to do things God wants me to do. It'll put ads, and it'll, listen, I'm not even talking about political weird theories, okay? I'm just telling you, Pizza Hut wants me to give me a pizza every time I talk about pizza. Hey, and if that is true, then what else is it doing? What else is it gearing up and trying to give me? And I trust that thing, and I carry it around. And listen, we got a Bible on the wall. It was mentioned tonight. But again, we don't pick that up and hang it around our neck. But some of you don't have just a phone. You got a watch that's tied to that phone. You got to have one for both hands now. You got to have something that'll help you find the other one when you lay it down. It's hard to have revival when you're chained to something else that owns you. And we don't think it does. We think, I use it for business. I use it for this. I use it for that. It helps me in these areas keep up with things. Yes, it does. But why don't, again, instead of take the rose-colored glasses off tonight and listen to the preaching. What else do you use it for? Where else does it take you? Let me ask you this. And I understand, because if you're not careful, news on the television will get you the same way. Amen. Are you spending equal time in your Bible as you are that phone? I'm just going to tell you, that phone will never help you in eternity the way God's Word will. And you're going to spend a lot longer facing a holy God in heaven with what you did here on earth with the Word of God than with your phone. See, revival is from perspective. What do I need revival from? I don't need revival. Hey, every one of us need revival. We need to be reminded about some things. You say, is Brother Chad going to preach on my phone? I don't know. If God tells him to, he will. And I hope you, listen, I hope you will come and say, I need revival. I need to be in the midst of the preaching. I need to move on. Listen, these men and women, there was great miracles done. Wouldn't it be great if God delivered you from something that shackles you? Wouldn't it be great because you decided to go to revival this week, something that has owned you for forever? You could give it to God and walk away from it this week. It would be worth every moment you heard the preaching. It would be worth every moment of preparation and prayer. And God, deliver me from this. God, help me grow closer to you. And maybe tonight you don't even really know what it is. God ain't put his finger on it yet. But you know he's burdened you that you need revival. Why don't you show up this week for revival and find out what God has for you? Maybe tonight is the beginning of revival in your heart. God spoke to you about what it is. And what you need more than anything is begin by surrendering the thing that God told you you need to get out of your life tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to be saved. You can't start reviving until you're passed from death unto life and be made alive. And that only happens by accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection that is preached from his word, that Jesus Christ came from heaven, died on a cross, and rose again in power to save you. And when you put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you can pass from death unto life and then be made alive. The Bible actually uses the term quickened. Folks, listen, if you're here tonight and you need to be saved, please get saved. But I am preaching to a church that desperately, more than anything, I want us to be in one accord. We are looking into, if God tarries his coming in the weeks and months to come, there is great opportunity for us to see people saved. But will we prepare ourselves, or will we just stay comfortable? Let us tonight take the encouragement to ask God to revive us. Let's take the opportunity of this week's revival to be revived and to seek after the people and those that would come across our paths that need to see somebody who's revived and walking close to the Lord and hear the witness of his son. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, pray for me. I want to see revival." Would you slip your hand out and say, "Pray for me, preacher. I want to see revival." I appreciate the hands. Listen, it starts in us. And whether it's in your pew or whether it's at the altar tonight, would you do business with God? Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray here. And as the musicians make their way there, don't wait for them. You step out and come. If you're here and you're not saved, I'm going to pray for you. I pray you'll meet me in the front tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, I thank you for your people. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I beg you, Lord, revive us again. Help us, Lord, to walk closer to you than we ever have. Help give us a great revival of our people, Lord, not just of preaching, but, Lord, a great revival in our lives that we might see it in action, Lord, after this revival. I pray for those that, listen, they're here and they need Christ. I beg you to save them. We ask it in the name above every name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come. Oh.